And what a blessing. Let's take the Word of God tonight. Let's go to the Gospel according to John. John chapter number 20. And I want to thank for a good attendance here tonight on this second service of the Bible Missions Revival. And I pray that you'll be a part of this. You know, I know my dad has told me years ago, and maybe some of you, how many's ever been a part of like a two-week revival meeting? I'm talking 2 weeks. Anybody raise your hand? All right, some of you, okay? My dad, years ago, of course, he would tell me, son, we used to have two-week revival meetings. And I've heard people talk to me about 3 weeks and four-week revival meetings where they would come out to the church and hear the preaching of God's Word. And you know, honestly, if we tried to do a two-week revival meeting, I just don't know if we could ever do it. And it seems to be we're busier than we've ever been. I don't know that we're accomplishing more than we have ever accomplished. But you know, the truth is we have to set aside time and say, I'm going to set aside priority. And the priority to come to the God's house and to listen to the preaching of His Word. And you know, parents, I believe that we send a silent message to our children when we put things in the place of God and His Word and His house. I really believe that. You know, children pick, they more is caught in the home than is ever taught. You know, my parents taught me a lot of things. I don't remember a whole lot of what they said, but I do remember what they did. And I do remember their life. And you know, in fact, I was reading the other day where the Bible talks about that the just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. And boy, God used that verse to speak to my heart, because you know, the truth is, children are blessed by not necessarily what a man says, but what he is in his heart. And so may God help us to place the emphasis. I pray that at Grace Baptist Church, that it's something unusual that people are like, hey, this is missions conference time, and let's come out for missions conference, and this is revival time, and let's come out to see what God will do in our hearts and lives. It's living in anticipation of the Lord's work. You know, I'm expecting God to do something in my heart this week, and I want to live in that expectation. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can hear about the revivals of years gone by and God's blessing and touch and think, well, that was another day. But brethren, that God is still alive and well today. And He wants to bring revival and He wants to give us revival. But we have to become, I believe in many ways, desperate for the Lord's work. Nothing really is accomplished without desperation, you know? And I want to be desperate about God's work, and His work is reaching this world. Now, recently, I did something. If you were to ever type into the internet how many people are in the world, at least where I clicked on, it gives a little, almost a clock that is going. And it's showing how many people are dying and how many people are being born. And the population increases. And we are approaching 7.5 billion people in the world today. What an amazing, staggering thought that is. You know something, as I watched that and watched all the people die. I mean, just, you know, and all the people being born, I thought, dear God, we've got to become urgent about the message, the truth that we have to this lost and dying world. Tonight, I want to give you a simple message. I pray that God will help us. And, you know, honestly, I know probably the missionaries could do a whole lot better job of speaking on these subjects, but I want as a pastor to bring these to our church and to say, you know, this is what I desire for us. This is not just something we do once a year. This should be the heartbeat of every one of us, and it should be the desire of our heart to see people saved, not only in our town, at our work, and at the grocery store, and at the supermarket, and at the restaurant, but that we are thinking like the Lord Jesus wants us to think. And that is for the souls of man. D.L. Moody, years ago, one of the greatest evangelists and one of the greatest personal soul winners of all time, it is said of D.L. Moody that he personally led thousands, many thousands of people to Jesus Christ. But D.L. Moody was out one day and he was witnessing to someone, and he asked someone, he said, do you know for sure if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? And the man looked at him with a stern look and said, that's none of your business. And Mr. Moody looked back with a kind heart and said, sir, I'm sorry, but it is my business. And the man looked at him and said, you must be D.L. Moody. You see, it was known around the town that it was the business of D.L. Moody to witness and tell others of Jesus Christ. I want you to know this. Not everyone will receive the truth, but every man needs the opportunity to receive the truth of God's Word. There's been lots of times I've witnessed to people and they've rejected Jesus Christ. And you know, I pray that at some point in their life that they will receive Christ. But you know something? I want to give the gospel. I hope Mrs. DeWitt doesn't mind me saying this, but her mother is very, very ill. And I thank God. I've been praying and going by Mrs. DeWitt's mom home, Priscilla Martin, and going by there to try to get a chance to talk to her. And on Friday, I had the privilege to be able to sit down with her in her home and to be able to talk to her and just be able to clearly understand that she had trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And this was something that Mrs. DeWitt was unsure about and wanted to know, because soon the Lord will call her home. And you know something? We ought to be urgent about this matter of telling the gospel. This evening, I want to preach to you on this message. Will you go? Will you go? And that's the question that we find tonight. John chapter 20, let's begin in verse number 19. May God help us this evening. John chapter 20, verse number 19. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You know something? There's so much in here. One day, when I behold the face of Jesus Christ, what a day that will be to see my Savior face to face. There are times when I'm alone with God in His Word and in prayer that I so want to just be with Him. I want to see Him. We live by faith now, but one day our faith will be turned to sight. What a day that will be. Can you imagine? Here are the disciples. These are 10 frightened disciples that have gathered in the upper room. They're scared to death. Jesus has died on the cross. What happened to their master? They wanted him to become king and set up his earthly reign then and there. But Jesus has died on the cross. They did not understand all that he had tried to teach them. This is the first time after his death, burial, and resurrection that Christ is giving this commission. And now think about it. I love the very picture that we find here. Jesus shows them his hands. Can you imagine the terrible scar that Jesus must have had in his hands? The nails were driven through his hands. And many historians believe that the nails were probably driven through right at the very end of the hands of the Lord Jesus. But can you imagine the scars that he had in his hands? And he showed them his side. There was no doubt a terrible gash in his side where the soldier took the spear and ran it up into the side of Jesus. Jesus showed that to them, and they were glad. We read on. The Bible says in verse number 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. And then notice what he says, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Think of this picture. Here is the disciples. They are gathered into that upper room. Their master, their Lord, their Savior, the one that they have trusted and believed in, has died. There are talks that he has risen from the grave. But here is Jesus. He shows up in the midst of them and he says, peace be unto you. And then he shows them his hands, his side. And he says to them what Christ is saying to every one of us tonight. No matter our age, no matter our occupation, no matter our talents, our gifts. He says, as my Father hath sent me. God the Father sent the Son. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Lord sent him. Jesus was on a mission when he came to this earth. And the mission was to bleed and die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. And Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You know what that means? Every one of us that names the name of Jesus Christ, we are on a mission from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Can I ask you something? How are you doing on the mission? How am I doing on the mission? It's funny to me, you know, so often I can remember when my kids were much younger, and I can remember so often sending them outside maybe to get the mail or to do something. You know, it's amazing how long it takes a kid to go get the mail, you know? Because you know what? The truth is, along the way, there's lots of distractions, is there not, you know? I remember one day watching my children, and I was watching them go to the mail and making sure that everything was fine and all that. Boy, they walked a few steps and stopped, looked down, picked something up, threw it back down, took a few more steps, picked something else up, got distracted and went over this way. Have you ever seen the Peanuts or the Family Circus in there, you know, in the cartoon sometimes, and you see the little boy and all his steps and all that. It takes him forever to get to where he goes. But brethren, you and I are on a mission tonight. I wonder how many times we've stopped to pick up something which distracted us from what God's mission has been given to us. The question tonight, will you go, will I go? You say, well, Pastor, maybe God has not sent me to Japan or to Brazil or to the Middle East as we are focusing on this week. But brethren, God has sent you and me. He has sent us to our workplaces. He has sent us to our neighborhoods. Could it be that God put you in your job to witness to someone? To know Jesus Christ as our Savior. I believe that there are no accidents. And I believe that God places us in divine appointments day by day so that we can give the gospel to those that need to be saved. You see, the question, will you go? It is an amazing truth that the one thing that God has given us to do is often our single greatest neglect. You know, in most churches today, we work at just about everything else than winning people to Jesus Christ. You know, and brethren, I'm not saying this to be true about our church because we are working at this. We are striving. We do send buses out and pick up children and teens and moms and dads and bring them to church. We do have our Bearing Precious Seed ministry here. We do have our Great Commission Night. We do work at this and we strive. We are starting Bible clubs and there's many other things in my heart. But it's all for the purpose of fulfilling the mission that God has given us as my Father has sent me. Even so, send I you. You know something, in our towns and great cities, there are more people that are lost without Christ at any other time in the history of mankind, but there is less evangelistic activity and there is less personal soul winning than in any other time. Can I ask you something tonight? Not that I want you to answer out loud, but what is the purpose of our church here at Grace Baptist Church? Is it just so we can have meetings together, fellowships? Is it so that we can meet together and eat Chick-fil-A every once in a while? Is that what it's about? That's a pretty good thing, by the way, you know. Is it just that we can have a Christian school here and that's our purpose? Is it so that we can build buildings and praise God, He allowed us to build the new building and we have plans of remodeling and plans of doing things and plans of expanding and all of that? But that is not the purpose of Grace Baptist Church. Do you know the very inception of this church, back when God put it in the heart of Pastor Koffenbarger to found a church here in Urbana, Ohio? It was for the sole purpose of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are no telling how many thousands, no telling how many tens of thousands of people have been saved because the church's purpose is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to disciple them and to help them grow in their Christian faith. You see, tonight, will you go? Will I go? I want you to see some things tonight. Number one, would you notice, why should you go? And why should I go? Why should we go tonight? Why should we go to our neighborhoods? And why should we go to our friends and family? How many would say tonight that you have someone in your family that is without Jesus Christ? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's a lot of people. How many would say that you know someone at your workplace that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? How many would say you have someone in your neighborhood that does not know Christ as your Savior? Would you raise your hand? Do you know something represented here tonight between all of us raising our hands, between family, between work, and between our neighborhood, it's a lot of people. A lot of people. I know in my neighborhood, I've witnessed to people in that neighborhood, and I've given them the gospel. Some know the Lord, some do not want to know the Lord. I pray for them, and I want to continue to work to have the opportunity to witness to them and to share the gospel. There are people that I have on my prayer list right now that I'm praying for. Some of you, your own husbands and wives that need Christ as their Savior, that I've witnessed to and we've talked to. But brethren, why should we go? Why should we go? Why don't we just, once we get saved, we just sit at home, we enjoy what God has given us? Why should we go? Number one, we should go because we are sent by His authority. Do you know that we are sent by the authority of Jesus Christ Himself? I am thankful for men in our church that help me often to visit hospitals and things like that. And what a blessing that is. And when I was an assistant pastor, often I would go to the hospital. And every time I would go there, I would walk in and I would say this. I would say, Pastor, and my pastor at that time that I was serving for was Pastor Tebow. I would say, Pastor Tebow asked me to come up here and check on you, and I just wanted to have a word of prayer with you. You see, that carried authority. There was something behind that because they loved their pastor. They really wanted the pastor to be there, but they knew that I was there representing the pastor. And in many senses, brethren, God has sent us. Why should we go? Because He personally sent you and me. He says, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. You know something? We ought to underline or circle that little word I there. Even so send I you. You know, that word you there, that has my name in it. That has your name there. Why should we go? Because we have His authority. We are sent to go. You know something? The Great Commission is what we call this. It's the commission, what God has commanded us to do and what He has committed into our hands to do does not begin with the need of man. Do you know tonight that we are not to go tell the lost just because they need to be saved? Now, is that a purpose? That's a part of it. We understand that. But brethren, the Great Commission does not begin with the need. It begins in the very heart of God. You see, none of us have the compassion, the concern, the love, and the care to continually go after people simply for their sake. But listen, brethren, I want you to know this. We are to go for God. That's why He said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. What God is saying to you and me, as God sent me, I came to earth for God, then we are to go for God. And it's, in a sense, the Lord is saying, will you go for me? Will you go tell them for me, for my sake? You see, the Great Commission doesn't begin with the need of man. I remember hearing the story of Hudson Taylor. And people talked about him and his faithfulness to God and how that he served the Lord for so many years. And they said, you must really love the people. He said, no, sometimes I don't love them. Sometimes I don't like them. Sometimes they're rude and unkind. And sometimes it's hard to be around them. But I love them with the love of Jesus Christ. You see, God has put that in my heart. I go for God. And brethren, tonight, the Great Commission began in the very heart of God. We do what we should do for God in obedience to Him. You see, and by the way, can I tell you this? As you go, God will give you a love. And He will give you a compassion. This past week, I told you this morning, we had a couple say at the Bible Club at West Liberty School. And what a blessing. My heart was so stirred as I left that school that morning. But I'm praying that God will continue to work. And there's so many kids in every school around here that need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you know something? We can say, well, I've got a burden for them. There's a need there. But listen, that burden and that need came in the very heart of God. The Lord said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. We go. Why should we go? Because we are sent by His authority. Number two, we go because His presence is with us as we witness. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 28 because I want to show this to you. Matthew chapter 28. Now, you say, well, Pastor, aren't we in a missions conference and this is about foreign missions? Brethren, missions is everywhere. Missions is not just on foreign soil. Missions is in Urbana. Missions is in Mechanicsburg and Springfield and Cable and West Liberty and Bell Fountain. And missions is everywhere. Missions is people. And no matter where that may be. Now, we place a big emphasis this week on these missionaries going to foreign lands. And you know something? I pray that God will help us to see, what is our part? Will you go? Matthew chapter 28, we notice in verse number 16, the Bible tells us this. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know what Jesus was saying? I want you to go because I'm going to go with you. I love the thought tonight that Christ is in us. Do you know that as I witness to people, Jesus Christ is in me. And Christ in me is seeking after souls. Christ in me is that shepherd who seeks after the lost sheep. Jesus said, for I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the very mission of Jesus Christ. And brethren, you and I should be, in a sense, every day we live, we should be on soul patrol. You know what that means? Every day we live, we're patrolling. We're looking around. We're seeking and allowing ourselves to be used of God, witnessing. And by the way, you know something? You can never witness to the wrong person. I've gone to doors before and knocked on a door. And by the way, you can always tell a Christian. You really can. Because I've had people answer the door and I'll say, ma'am, sir, I'm here and I'm from Grace Baptist Church and I'd like to give an invitation to our church and talk to them for a little bit. And then I'll say, but can I ask you the most important question of all? And that is, do you know if you die tonight, would you go to heaven? You know what? Every Christian, you know what they do when you ask them that question? The big smile on their face. Yes, I do know. I know I'm going to heaven. Boy, thank you for coming by. This is a blessing to me. And it encourages you. It encourages them. Maybe it stirs them up to tell other people about Jesus. You can't go to the wrong home when you go out. But if you go to some place and they need the gospel, God sent you there. And brethren, we go because He is with us. He enables us. Christ in you. The Lord Jesus said, and lo, I am with you. You know something? As those disciples went and they went out from that upper room and the Spirit of God came upon them. And by the way, you and I cannot witness without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We must yield ourselves to God, allowing Him to work through us. We are only channels tonight. We're only vessels that He works through. But as the disciples went in every direction, you know something? The Lord, in the person of the Holy Spirit, went with them, enabling them. I can remember years ago witnessing to a man on an airplane, and I remember sitting there, and God impressed on my heart sitting there. And by the way, I had missed a flight, and it wasn't my fault. It was just something. It was obviously orchestrated by God. And I remember getting on that plane, and the Spirit of God speaking to my heart, not in an audible voice, but telling me, there's a reason for this. God has an appointment, and He set me by somebody I would have never set by. And I've told you the story. I witnessed to the man, and he was ready. Oh, he was ready. He had been thinking and pondering and wondering how to go to heaven when he dies. I took the Bible, and within a half an hour, we had to show him from God's Word how to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. Can I tell you something? That wasn't me. That was God, the Holy Spirit. He worked that. And you know what the Lord is doing today? He is working salvation in the midst of the earth. He is bringing people in contact with others that need to hear the gospel. You know something? I want to be used by God. I want to be a person that God can say, I can send him over there. And I know that he'll share the gospel with him. I know that he'll be a light in that dark place. Oh, may God help us. Why should we go? Because we are sent by his authority and they have the promise of his presence. Number two, we think about, will you go? Why should we go? Number two, what do you see? Can I ask you something tonight? What do you see? When you see a group of people, what do you see? Sometimes we can just see their sin and their wickedness, and that's what we look at, but I pray that we can see more than that. Years ago in 1857, in October 1857, J. Hudson Taylor began to minister in Ningpo, China. And he led a man by the name of Mr. Nye to Christ. This Mr. Nye was so overjoyed and thankful that he came to know Jesus Christ that he wanted to share his faith with others. And by the way, a pretty good evidence of someone coming to know the Lord, they want to tell other people about him. Well, Mr. Nye began to ask Hudson Taylor, he said, "How long have you had the good tidings in England?" Because he knew that's where Hudson Taylor was from. He said, Hudson Taylor had been asked by this man. And Hudson Taylor acknowledged that England had known the gospel for many centuries. And Mr. Nye said this, "Why didn't you come sooner? My own father sought the truth and never knew the truth of Jesus Christ, and he is already dead." Boy, it spoke to Hudson Taylor's heart. You know something, you and I have something so valuable, but why do we not want to share it with others? We have the truth. We have the answer for man's destiny. But what do you and I see? Fanny Crosby, who was blind, wrote this song, "Rescue the Perishing." Would you listen to it? "Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the falling. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting. Waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly. Plead with them gently. He will forgive. If they only believe." Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way. Patiently win them. Tell the poor wonder a Savior has died. You know, Fanny Crosby could not see with her physical eyesight. But you know something? She saw what many people never see. She saw the lost souls of men and women without Jesus. You know something? What do you see when I walk the hallways of a public school? You know what I see? I see kids and teenagers that need Jesus Christ as their Savior. When I drive along the road and I see people out walking, I wonder, do they know Jesus as their Savior? Where will they spend eternity when they die? You see, what do you see tonight? It's easy to look down upon people and see their wickedness and to see their disgust and almost look down upon them in disdain. But brethren, the Lord Jesus sees them. In John 4:35, can I tell you how Jesus saw people? He said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." I love it around here during the harvest time, around here with all the fields and all of that. And I never understood that verse until I moved to Ohio. Because there is a certain time when the harvest is ready and the sun shines down upon those fields that it looks white out there. And when the first day when I had moved here and I looked out, I said, "Honey, look, the fields are white unto harvest." I said, "Now I understand that verse." And you know something? Can I tell you this? Jesus said the fields are already white unto harvest. They're ready. You know something, people tonight? There are people everywhere that are ready to pick for the harvest. They just need someone to tell them of Jesus. They want to go to heaven. They will believe in Jesus Christ. They're ready for us to give them the gospel and they will be saved. But we need to see them. You know, we ought to pray and ask God, "Lord, open my eyes. Lord, help me to see as you see." Have you ever thought before, how does God see? I spent 12 years being a youth pastor, and you know something? I saw things in our teenagers that I asked God to help me to see. For instance, I saw them serving God one day through eyes of faith. I saw what God could do in their life and through their life. I kind of dreamed it for them, and I began to pray for them and saw things. I was dreaming for them. Brethren, we ought to see what only God can help us to see. What do you see today? When we think about what do we see, you know, may God help us remember eternity. You know, we live here on this earth, and sometimes we forget that every person is going to die one day. And do you know that every person that dies goes out into eternity? God did not create us for time, but He created us for eternity. We only live here on earth for a certain amount of time, but we are going to live eternally either in heaven or hell. And that means for everyone. Jesus said in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." On your street, in your town, in cities around America, in countries around the world, there are billions of people without Christ. And can I tell you this? They are without hope. Do you know that Christ is the only hope for them? And brethren, we have the hope. The Bible says it's the hope which lieth within us. And we must share the gospel with them. Will you go? A man by the name of Bob in Arlington, Texas, had a car service station. He was not a preacher. He was not a missionary per se to go to a foreign field. But this man worked on vehicles. But he knew that his vocation and calling were something very special to him. You see, it was a place for people to get gas and tires and to get service on their vehicles there in Arlington, Texas. This man had no signs. This man wore no t-shirts that said, "Jesus saves," and I'm not against that. But I'm here to tell you this. Bob knew in his heart that every customer was someone that he could witness to and give the gospel to. He did his job well. He took care of people, but he took every opportunity to witness because he knew his job was just for his livelihood, but his great commission, his mission from God was to tell other people about Jesus Christ. And let me say this to you. You may work at Honda. You may work at KTH. You may work as a teacher in our Christian school. You may work as a teacher in a public school. You may work on some factory. You may work on something else. But can I tell you something? That job that God has given you, that is to meet your livelihood. But while you are there, God has a greater mission for you, and that is to tell others of the Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, may God help us. What do we see? Brethren, we must remember that the souls that we pass day by day will spend either eternity in heaven or hell. And may God help us to motivate us, to strengthen us within our heart. That is why we give to Faith Promise Missions. You know why? Because there are people, you know something? There are people that I will never meet until I get to heaven that were saved because I gave and you gave to Faith Promise Missions. Would it be not a wonderful thing in heaven that people were to come up to you and say, "Thank you for giving"? Because you gave, a missionary came to my town. And a missionary started a church. And a missionary told me of Jesus. And I got saved. And you have a part in that because, as I talked about this morning, you're a fellow helper to the truth. We get to have a part in God's work. Brethren, we all can do something. We all can have a part. You know, I'm reminded of that story in God's Word. You remember the men who brought that man, that lame man, to Jesus Christ? You remember they took him on the rooftop and let him down through there? I don't know about the guy's roof. I mean, that was kind of a rough day for him, you know. Kind of lost his roof there. But can I tell you something? The Bible says that each man took a corner. Two men couldn't have got him there. One man couldn't have got him there. Three men couldn't have got him there. It took four. And you know, the problem is, we think, well, I can't do this and that. But brethren, will you just take a corner? Will you just take a corner? Will you just help in some way to get the man to Jesus Christ? Brethren, all of us tonight can take a corner somehow. Will you go? You see, why should we go? Oh, we go because He has sent us. We go because His presence is with us. You know, when you walk across the street to go to your neighbor, Jesus is with you. When you're witnessing work, Jesus is with you. And He loves that lost soul. He died for that lost soul. What do you see tonight? I want to see like the Lord wants me to see. How does Jesus see people? He sees their need. Can I say this to you? If you and I are not careful, we can just see people as an annoyance to us, can we not? We can see people as just, you know, man, look at the lifestyle they live and look how they act and look at their mouth and look what they say and look at all these different things about them. That's what we can see, but that's not how Jesus says. Jesus sees them for the lost soul. He sees them as a lost sheep in the wilderness, and He wants to seek and save them. Number three, the last thing is, what can you do? What can I do tonight? Well, I'll tell you what we can do. Number one, pray for laborers. Now, I talked about this a little bit. We should start today praying for laborers. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9, I want you to notice in verse number 37 in closing. Pray for laborers. Can I say this? I think we ought to start with praying for our own selves. Do you ever pray that God would help you to be the right soul winner that God wants you to be? And by the way, you know what we are doing? We're just seed bearers. We're just sowing seed. Oh, listen, God is the one who gives the increase. He's the one who blesses. But I am to sow the seed. I'm to give the gospel tract. I'm to ask that person, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Can I show you from the Bible how to be saved? I can give the gospel, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only way. But listen, we must pray for laborers. Pray for yourself. Pray for these missionaries. Matthew 9, the Bible says in verse number 37, notice what it says. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, it says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know what I have found in the 6 years of being a pastor? Do you know what we have here at Grace Baptist Church? We have lots of work and few laborers. We do. I spent 12 years as an assistant. We're always working to find laborers, people that will serve, people that will witness, people that will work a bus route, people that will serve. Jesus said, laborers are few. The harvest is huge. It's plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. You know, parents, can I ask you something? Are you willing to pray that God would call your children? You know, my parents are in Tennessee. My wife's folks are in Alabama. My other sister is in Indiana. My wife's parents, they have a daughter and a son-in-law in England. They have other children in different parts and lands. And you know what? I'll just be honest with you. And sometimes I get to miss my family, especially during holidays. Well, I miss them. And sometimes I think, Lord, you know, it'd been nice just to kind of live close to mom and dad, you know, be close to all my family and relatives. But guess what? I've got all eternity in heaven to be with my family one day. It's going to be a great reunion day. We'll catch up with my dad, my mom, and catch up with all my friends. But I'm doing what God has called me to do. Because the day that I surrendered and I said, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I really didn't know that would lead me away. I still remember driving away from Knoxville, Tennessee, going to Illinois. A bunch of Yankees live up there, you know. That's what my papa told me, you know. He said, Hank, you be careful about them Yankees, you know. Well, them Yankees are just normal people. They're good people. I love them. And you know, the truth is, I remember leaving. My dad and mom were standing in the driveway crying and weeping. I'd just been married 3 months. Had a brand new bride with me. And we were driving our U-Haul truck to Illinois. I think it took 10 minutes to unload everything we had, you know, when we got there. You know how it is. And everything we had was given to us, you know. But I remember leaving and thinking, Lord, I didn't know what this would mean. But you know what? I went because God called me. Do you know what it is for a missionary to leave the United States, to go to Japan, to go to Brazil, to go to a foreign land? to leave. But listen, what can you do? What can I do? We must pray. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for laborers. Parents, let's pray that if God would so choose our children to be in full-time work. And by the way, we're all to be full-time Christians. And we're all missionaries in many ways, in many sense. But we should pray, God, take my child. Use them however you want to. Pray. Number two, we should carry gospel tracts and anticipate opportunities. I remember when I first went soul winning. I remember knocking on a door, and I had a soul winning partner with me. And I'm just going to tell you this. I shouldn't be honest with you, but I remember standing there, and it was my time to talk. And I prayed in my heart, Lord, let nobody come to the door. Let nobody come to the door, please. You think that's bad, don't you? But the truth is, we've all been there. You stand there and say, nobody came to the door. Now it's the next person's time, you know? We're scared to death. But you know something? We ought to get gospel tracts and carry them with us. And we ought to ask God for divine appointments. The Lord will set those up for you. For opportunities to give the gospel to people. Opportunities to share. And look, they may not get saved there, but you may plant a seed there that someone else will come along and water it. But God will give the increase. So we pray, we carry gospel tracts and anticipate opportunities. Number three, we have courage in the moment. There have been many times, and I can think back to many times in my life when I had an opportunity to witness, but I didn't do it. Why? Fear. You know, we say we have fear. What's the fear? Fear of being rejected. Fear that someone might, you know, say something to us unkind. But remember, Jesus is with you. And by the way, when they reject you, they're not really rejecting you. As God told Moses, they're rejecting God. You see, we ought to have courage in the moment. We ought to pray, God, help me in the moment that you give me to witness, that I'll have the courage to witness and take the Bible and have the gospel tract to give it. Number four, and the last thing, what can we do? Give to missions. We can give. Every one of us here, every child, every adult, we all can give something to missions. And I want you to be praying today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and then Wednesday. What God has put on your heart, let's give that. Let's give. What would God put in your heart to give every week to Faith Promise Missions? Now look, can I say this to you? Some people may say, well, the pastor's just trying to get our money. That's what it is. God just wants my money. No, God doesn't want your money. He wants you. And when he has you, he'll have everything else. And the pastor doesn't want your money. You know what? I want you to be obedient to Jesus Christ. You know why? Because I'm trying to help you to have a good judgment day before God. I want you to be able to stand before God and for him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I hope that you can say, Pastor, thank you for preaching, because today I stood before God and I gave and I went and I prayed and now I'm rejoicing in all the blessings of all that. Oh, may we give. F.B. Meyer told of once seeing the great preacher A.B. Simpson. I have a lot of books by Meyer and Simpson that I love. But F.B. Meyer was watching A.B. Simpson one day in his study early in the morning. The great man of God had a globe before him. And here's what he would do. He would give the globe a little spin, and he would put his finger on a spot, and he would stop the globe, and where his finger had landed, he would pray for that country. He would pray for souls to be saved, and that God would raise up laborers to go to that field and to tell them of Jesus Christ. He continued to do that a dozen or so times. And then finally, the old man, A.B. Simpson, a great man of God, stood to his feet. He reached out. He put both arms around the globe and hugged the whole world to himself and prayed for the whole world. Can I tell you something? That is the heart of God. That's what God wants. You know something? I'm a sad, sorry Christian if I have the truth that God gave to me and I just sit on my truth and I do not share the truth with anyone else, if I have no burden, listen, the world is not just Ohio. Listen, the world, there are millions of people who have never heard. And if we are not willing to give to help missionaries get to these foreign fields, that's not the heart of God. Oh, listen, the heart of God is for people. He loves people. He gave His only begotten Son for people. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Put your name there. He has sent you. May God help us to be obedient and to follow Jesus as He seeks souls. Let's pray together.